We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Second week with the former Steelers Super Bowl champion and the incredible ESPN color analyst. I see Mike Tannenbaum didn't give Ben Roethlisberger a terrible grade. He had a middle of the pack this week, Chris, week one. Not as bad as Pro Football Focus, who had Ben dead last, and QBR from ESPN, which had Ben behind Andy Dalton. Let's get Ryan Clark's take on it all. Ryan, what did you think of Big Ben in week one, my man?
I thought he was okay. Coming into the season, I had a formula for winning for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I thought the run game needed to be better. It wasn't necessarily better this week, but the O-line needs to gel, need to get the chemistry, need to play together, the physicality. I think all of that can grow when you have, four new starters. And I thought that the defense needs to play extremely well. I mean, I never thought they'd play as well as they did on Sunday. I mean, just Cam Hayward was dominant. T.J. Watt, showed you why he earned the type of money that he did with his new contract. I thought Keith Butler, the way he schemed and the way he used Minka Fitzpatrick in drops and dropped different people disguised was amazing. What I said from Ben Roethlisberger you'd need this year is Ben needs to make winning football plays in situational football moments, right? And you have very good skill players. Deontay Johnson makes a huge touchdown catch. Juju Smith-Schuster makes a huge catch in the seam on a great back shoulder throw from Ben Roethlisberger. And then Ben was probably the throw of the day by either him, by him or Josh Allen, hits Chase Claypool with a ball that was an absolute dime.
Yep, 3rd and 8. That was a huge play. Yep.
And so you can say what you want about the numbers, about the overall performance, but isn't football about winning, right? Isn't that the reason that these guys are paid? And when Ben Roethlisberger needed to make plays, he did that. Now, you hope that the next week can be better. But if I'm Coach Tomlin, the way I spin this or the way I talk about this is, hey, he's going to say it was a below-the-line effort. But with the new offensive coordinator, first-time calling plays in the regular season with Ben Roethlisberger, the team consistently got better throughout the four quarters. Now you want to build on that.
Ryan, the game of football is all about winning, but our world in the media is, of course, all about projecting and armchair quarterbacking, Monday morning quarterbacking. How much do you think of Ben's overall play, kind of middling play in that whole game, is connected to that offensive line trying to get their feet underneath them?
I think that's part of it, but then you can also look at the first half and see some errant passes. One that sticks out very vividly is a red zone pass to Najee Davenport. He's kind of moving to his right. Najee has to jump and try to get it. It hits his left hand. There were some other passes like that in the first half. And so, he wasn't necessarily extremely sharp. We've all seen Ben Roethlisberger be better than he was on Sunday. And so it wasn't a great performance. Maybe it wasn't even necessarily a very good performance. Not even maybe, but it wasn't. But like I said, he made the plays that he needed to make. Now, does he need to be better for this team to win consistently? Absolutely, because you can't ask the Pittsburgh Steelers defense to come out that and play lights out like that every week. But you expect them to be really good on defense. You expect them, and you know that they have really good skill players outside. And if Ben can continue to sharpen his tools, I think he'll play better. And I do believe that the offensive line will get better as they play together. I think the thing that people miss about the offensive line is it's a basketball team, right? It's much like the secondary. Everything has to be tied together, but that takes time, right? That takes chemistry. I remember being there and being in Pittsburgh for 8 years and having a very good secondary, part of it was that we all played together so long. And there was so much carryover year in and year out with the chemistry and with the relationships. And I think this offensive line has to build that. And so as they build that, I think, and get more protection, it will be better. As Matt Canada gets a rhythm with Ben in the offense, he'll be better. And so I just think, like, they can grow. But the point is, it's so much better to come in and critique a game and talk about how much better you have to be when you win it. And that's what the Pittsburgh Steelers did.
Ryan, he accidentally said Najee Davenport there instead of Harris for our listeners who don't know.
My bad, Najee Harris.
For people that don't know Najee Davenport, he's the former Steeler that took a dump in a girl's closet once.
Why? See?
I had to bring that
up. You have to bring the potty humor. Well, I was going to cut in and say, yeah, it was a dump pass to Najee, but I felt like that was too obvious here.
My bad, guys. My bad.
It's all right. His nickname was Dump Truck.
Speaking of Najee Harris, how did you feel he acquitted himself in all phases? I feel like I just asked that in a very Mike Tomlin way. Like, Mike would say something about, like, all phases. But I felt like that was one of those classic examples of big man on campus for a big-time college program, and, hey, welcome to the NFL. This is where it gets real.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I've said this about Najee Harris. I think he's good. I don't think he's great. It's so funny. I had a conversation with some of the LSU defensive coaches who had played Najee during his time in Alabama, and they swore by him. It was actually Corey Raymond, who's a defensive back coach at LSU, well-respected defensive back coach, says he thinks that if Najee comes out last year in 2020, that he's drafted before Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who was the running back at LSU.
Yep.
And so, like, they really believe in him, and they've seen him. I think the thing that I look at is this. He's never going to have the disparity in talent that he had at Alabama, right? All of his offensive linemen aren't going to be better than the defensive linemen they play. Your quarterback's not going to be better than team secondary. Your wide receivers aren't going to be better than all the guys covering him. Like, you're going to have people who can make plays defensively, and I think he'll be a good football player. I think he could be a good football player for a long time. I don't necessarily think he becomes this game changer that makes the huge difference for the Pittsburgh Steelers without a little bit of help. I don't think he's a guy that's going to make a lot of somethings out of nothing, but I think he'll be good in the pass game. I think if he has space, he'll be good in the run game. I don't see Najee Davenport becoming prime Le'Veon Bell, but I also didn't see Le'Veon Bell becoming prime Le'Veon Bell. And so, you know, I've been wrong before. Let's hope I'm wrong again.
Ryan, how do you reconcile when the owner comes out and says, we can't be dead last in rushing again, we need to be better, there's an edict from the guy who puts his name on your paycheck, you draft a running back in the first round, and then you pretty much win the game and seal the game up by throwing the ball and trusting Big Ben to throw it. Now you're game planning for week two, and I just wonder in the back of their mind, if they're, you know, if they feel like they're compelled or they need to run the ball more because of the things that were said and because of the things they did in the offseason.
Well, I think they know they need to run the ball more because you want to try to protect Ben as well as you possibly can. And you also have to remember that this owner has been a part of generations of Steeler football.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily always as the owner, not necessarily always as the decision maker, but he's watched this closely since he was a child. And so it's hard for you to forget Franco Harris, right? It's hard for you to forget Jerome Bettis. It's hard for you to forget what Fast Willie Parker was. And so you remember all these things, and you think about the glory days of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they always were able to run the ball. They were always extremely physical. They set a tone. And I think it's hard to get over that familiarity. And so, yes, they need to run the football. And running the football will help this team be better. But I don't think Coach Tomlin is a coach that's in a position that has to do those things above winning. Coach Tomlin's job is not to appease the owner in the sense of, we're going to approach football in the manner or the way you think football needs to be approached. Coach Tomlin's job is to win football games.
Yeah.
And if he goes into a game and he believes they have a distinct advantage in the run game, I believe that that's where they'll focus on. That's what they'll try to do. And I do believe there will be a conscious effort to be a good running football team. But I don't think he will ever do that or work on that or focus on that to the detriment of winning football games.
How about getting Roethlisberger to buy into it, though, Ryan, and convincing him that that's what's best for him, a more balanced offense?
I guess I don't see Ben not understanding that.
Okay.
You know, I don't see Ben not knowing that. I don't see any quarterback not getting that, especially a quarterback who doesn't need to play a certain way or amount a certain amount of stats or garner a certain amount of stats to get, like, his first big contract, right? Ben's not in that place in life. Ben's not in the place in life where I have to be a top five quarterback or a top tier quarterback or a Pro Bowl quarterback so I can get a lot of all this money, because he's already freaking rich. What Ben needs to do is show that he can win football games still, that he can make the plays that are necessary for this football team to contend for an AFC championship if he wants to continue playing, right? If he wants to show that he can continue to be successful. And so I don't necessarily think you have to get Ben to buy into anything except winning, because, you know, let's be honest. I played football in Pittsburgh. When Ben Roethlisberger was winning championships, he wasn't Big Ben, right? He wasn't the leader and captain of the team. He wasn't a guy who we were putting in the same conversations as the Tom Brady's and Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees and all those guys. He was a guy that made winning football plays, had a very, very good defense, was the team was very well coached, and he had some special talent that allowed him to make big plays when needed. Now, when y'all had the killer bees there, or whatever we called them, they were great on offense. They threw the ball all around, and they never smelled the Super Bowl, right? They never got back to that chance or that opportunity to actually compete on the day the game was played. And so if anybody should understand that it's not about the stats, not about the stardom, it's not about the fame, it's not about the numbers, it's about winning, it's Ben Roethlisberger. And whatever it takes to win, he should be willing to do. And I believe that at this point in his career, he is.
Ryan, I felt like a dummy on Sunday as that game unfolded, which is a pretty familiar posture for me. Not just because I picked the Bills to win, but because of the reasons I gave. The main one was, didn't like the matchup of Josh Allen and all those receivers against the Steelers secondary, given the changes they had made. I'll be honest, I was shocked at how good Cam Sutton looked in that game. What was your impression of that group for the Steelers as a whole?
I think if you got opportunity to watch Cam Sutton, you know, play in the SEC, you knew that he was just uber talented. Mm-hmm. And he just really is. And if you've watched him during his tenure, he's played inside, he's played outside. He's a guy who's extremely versatile. And when I think of the receivers, you look at Emmanuel Sanders, he's a little longer in the tooth. Now, if we're talking about prime E, right, middle of his career in Denver, that's a different story. Cole Beasley, who is one of the best slot receivers in football, is still just Cole Beasley. Like, let's not just go crazy and think that he's now all of a sudden become something we've never seen. And obviously, Stephon Diggs is a flat-out dog. I have to just agree with you there. But I just thought, you know, Joe Hayden is extremely good. I thought Edmonds played to the top of his ability for the first time in probably a long time or ever that I've ever seen. And obviously, we know who Minkah is. And so I think that Cam Sutton was excellent. We can expect more of that from him. When you really look at him, probably more of a natural talent than Mike Hilton was, or whoever, whatever other guys, you know, we've played, because Mike was a nickel, whatever other guys they played at corner. And so I think the descent is really, really good. Also, if I have Cam Hayward and I also have Melvin Ingram and I have T.J. Watt rushing, I could probably play corner for the 2 seconds I got to play it. You know, it was just, man, I can't tell you how exciting it was to watch that defense hunt, you know, and to see in a league that's now all about how many points you can score, to watch defensive players totally dominate a game.
I felt like I'm not trying to be blasphemous here, and it's only one game, but it felt like a throwback to watching, like, you guys in 2008 just absolutely strangle an opposing team. Like, it was weird, man. It was because in 2021, like you said, it's about how many points can you score. Good defenses still give up 20-plus. That felt like a throwback to 10, 15, 20 years ago.
No, absolutely. And that's what it's against Josh Allen.
Yep.
Right? Who just got $150 million guaranteed. Who didn't just get it, who earned it. Who was a top three MVP vote getter last year. And to dominate that way, to really make him look extremely average from a talent standpoint, not just schematically, like to run him down, to not allow him to create extra yardage, to not allow the big play over the top. It was impressive, man. It was just fun to watch. You know, it's one of those things that people, you feel like people now don't remember the days where defense was exciting, where watching Troy Polamalu score touchdowns and watching James Harrison absolutely embarrass people in front of their children was good, right? We got back to that point on Sunday, and you're watching a guy like Cam Hayward, who's older now, who's a supreme leader on that team. You're watching a guy like T.J. Watt, who just got his money, and you're saying to yourself, you know what? Like, these dudes are the best football players on the field. And so often we say that about quarterbacks and running backs and receivers. It was good to be able to look at that and say that about defenders.
Well, I know you always give Aaron Donald his props and call him the best player in the NFL, and we like that here in Pittsburgh, and we agree with you. Ryan Clark here with us on The Fan. Yeah, I think other than the Saints against the Packers, and maybe that comes with a grain of salt because it looks like Aaron Rodgers really wasn't completely invested in that game, it felt like the Steelers had the best defensive performance of the entire weekend, Ryan. And I guess my question for you off of that is, if you have the best defense in the NFL, in 2021, how far can that take you?
It can take you extremely far. I mean, you can look right to the Los Angeles Rams of last year, since you mentioned Aaron Donald. I think the thing is, the offense has to show up in the big games. Mm-hmm. You go back to the divisional playoffs where you're playing against Green Bay, who's one of the highest scoring teams in the league last year for the Rams. Their offense didn't show up. You had to make sure, because at some point people are going to score points, right? The other guys get paid too. And the great part of early, and you do have some growing pains that are going to have to take place on offense, you can win games until you get there. The thing is, you have to get there. You know, like, at some point, it has to even out. At some point, you have to be able to go into games and say, you know what, if we need to score 28 today, if we need to score 30, we can do that. And that's what the Steelers are going to be working on, but they're going to be in every single football game this year as long as they're healthy on defense. And, you know, I did a podcast with Troy and Ike in the offseason, and one of my
statements that was great.
One of my statements was, I would walk into stadiums and say to myself, this team might not score today. And that's a great feeling to have. And I think if this defense consistently plays like it did this weekend, they'll start having that exact same feeling.
In terms of what you just said, though, about the offense, the defense is going to keep them in as long as they're healthy every game, Ryan. Like, in your estimation, based on the players they have on hand, do you feel like they can get to that point where they can score in bigger clumps and bunches when they need to as this season drags on? Do you think there's the raw material there to work with to get to that point?
I do. I think, you know, and I made mention to this before, and I don't know how people in Pittsburgh feel about this guy offensively. Deontay Johnson really reminds me of Santonio Holmes. And, you know, Santonio Holmes wasn't necessarily Antonio Brown, but he was dang good when he was right. You know, Claypool, Juju is good for who he is and what he's asked to do. I think this team can score points in bunches, but, you know, we mentioned it earlier, that's going to be with the run game becoming more than it is now. That's going to be with the offensive line gelling more than they have already, and hopefully having that excellent defense can allow them to get to that point.
Ryan, before we let you run, give us the X's and O's take from you. If Keith Butler or Mike Tomlin said, let's call Ryan Clark and get his 2 cents. Darren Waller on Sunday, what should be the game plan on that guy?
Double him. That would be my first thing. I think you talk about a dude, he had 19 targets.
Yeah, I know.
In this game. You know, John Gruden just called him the best football player he's ever coached.
Yeah, can we get a break pumping on that? He coached Warren Sapp, Derrick Brooks, Jerry Rice. Who am I missing? Tim Brown. Let's pump those brakes a bit here.
Yeah, that was some BS, but I think it does, when you throw the ball to a guy 19 times, it does kind of tell you what you think about him and what your quarterback thinks about him as well. And so I think you use multiple. You know, schematic things with him, right? So you bump him on the line. You put tight ends over him. If you split him out, you keep corners outside. If, you know, he's, you know, in the slot, You can double the slot, double the star. I think there's so many different things you can use. You treat Darren Waller like you treated Julio Jones in his prime, like you treated Megatron in his prime. You know, he's not a tight end. He's just a number one target. And I think that's what Keith Butler will do. But the one thing Keith Butler has is a great pass rush. And if Darren Waller can't get into those routes, and if Derek Carr doesn't have time, it sure makes Darren Waller a little bit easy to cover.
Ryan Clark, RealClark25 on Twitter. Check him out on ESPN. He kills it. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, my man. Have a great day.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.